You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. Charles Barkley will join us coming up. Charles gets to play golf on TV on Friday. We'll talk to him about that matchup with Peyton Manning. Steph Curry's also in there. Phil Mickelson. Aaron Rodgers a little bit later on in the program as well. Phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator, Marvin, standing by. If you'd like to email or tweet, you're welcome. And Mario will gather all of those. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. Say good morning to our radio partners. And, of course, the great Fox Sports Radio lineup. And our friend at Peacock. That's, well, friends, there's plural. Peacock is singular, but our friends at Peacock are plural. And they carry this show all 3 hours, and it's free. You can download the app and watch along with us. If you've ever been curious what we look like, of course, with these great voices, we must look really, really good. And you have that opportunity to dispel that by tuning into Peacock. All right, McLovin has a poll question or two coming up. Yes, McLovin.
Pauly says my poll question options are mean. And that's from Pauly.
Wow. Wow, yeah, if Paul's saying that, that's...
Okay, why did we lean mean on Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
Yes. Andrew does this. He likes to poke the bear a little bit. And if you look at Andrew's first poll question, well, I'll let him unveil. It's a shot at the Thanksgiving Day NFL schedule.
I think it's the NFL Day schedule is why you want to lean negative today. It's just these six teams kind of feel, except for Steelers, feel negative.
Okay.
Okay, you can only watch one.
Okay.
Texans-Lions, the early game, 12:30.
Okay.
Cowboys, Washington football team at 4:30, and then Ravens Steelers at night. With the caveat, you have a lot of turkey and tryptophan. You're going to be a little tired for that Ravens Steelers game. Or
do the Ravens have enough players to play? Because Ian Rappaport tweeted out that while the Ravens deal with positive COVID-19 test for some staff members and players, one option might be for the team to fly out day of on Thursday. A short flight, a night game, not ideal, but not unprecedented either. At what point does the NFL say, and I don't think they will, because it feels like the NFL is a lot like Major League Baseball. We don't care what happens during the regular season. Let's just get to the postseason. And that's the feeling. Here's a primetime Thursday night, NBC, and it feels like we got to have the Ravens and the Steelers here because this will be a big number. The Steelers are undefeated. Here's their rivals in the AFC North. But we've had games postponed, moved for less positive tests here. And the Ravens are the artists formerly known as. They're a shell of what they were last year. And that's dealing with injuries, performance, but now with COVID. Yeah, McLovin.
You know, there's this plan, and you broke it earlier, and then it came out from the NFL that they could put an extra week in and then go to eight teams.
Yeah.
Well, if Tom Brady's sitting at the number eight seed, I bet you they enact that plan, whatever it is. They're like the college football playoff. They're going to get, what if Cam Newton or Tom, I think Cam's a little too far away, but what if like a superstar quarterback can get it? Why not add a week so you can delay a game like this?
I don't know. I don't want to say the NFL would be up to something nefarious here. College football, yes. But the NFL, not quite. It feels like it's on merit a little bit more. It's not the eye test, but we'll dive into that topic coming up. First college football rankings came out last night, and this year they say they're relying on the eye test, and even more than usual. And I was told this when the Big Ten came back, Ohio State was hoping they could get just enough games to pass the eye test. So far, they played four games. I don't think they've distinguished themselves. They haven't really beaten anybody. They survived Indiana, but they're passing the eye test. Go figure. No, this is just the history of Ohio State football that's passing the history of Ohio State football test here. There aren't enough games to judge everybody, at least your body of work, because undefeated teams, that doesn't matter. Right now, we got quite a few undefeated teams. BYU was 14 despite having 9 wins. They got a dark horse Heisman candidate in Zach Wilson. They got a really balanced attack there. And now you can say, well, they haven't played anybody. There are quite a few teams that haven't played anybody. Or they've played teams and they haven't looked great, but they've got the wins. You can discount the Cougars' schedule, I guess. But I can't blame them for being a little bit upset because they also get taken out of the New Year's Day bowl games where, you know, those are, that's a lot of money at stake there. The Cougars got one more game left to prove their case unless they can find another team to play, and they were almost going to be playing Washington. And I think what happened with that, I'm trying to get this with another source, but I was told that BYU was willing to entertain Washington, but they wanted to see where they were in the rankings, and also if Washington needed to reschedule their game, because Utah and Arizona State, that got canceled. Washington was able to play Utah coming up this weekend. That would supersede anything that Washington was allowed to do outside of the Pac-12, that they had to be committed to a Pac-12 opponent if they could schedule one. Whether it's true that BYU said, hey, we want to wait and see where we're ranked, I don't know why that would matter. Because if you're ninth or eighth, you still want to be able to play a quality opponent. Because as it is now, you don't, even at nine or eight, like Cincinnati may have an outside shot, but I get the feeling if the committee could take Georgia with two losses, they'll take Georgia or Texas A&M, put them in there. Florida's going to be in the mix as well. But this is entertainment. I know we love to say it's based on merit. The college football playoff committee is looking at entertainment here. Notre Dame, absolutely. Clemson, absolutely. Alabama, absolutely. And then Ohio State. Safer picks, no blowouts. That's what you want. Now, had we had an 8-team playoff this year, how much more interesting would this be? At least just to start out. It would be very interesting just to see BYU or Cincinnati get a chance here. Northwestern to get a chance here. All you want is to get a chance. In all other college sports, the underdog gets a chance. Not in college football. BYU is not in the conversation right now and doesn't appear that they can do anything about it. I understand they're a little frosted here, but if I'm BYU, I do what Boise State did years ago. Remember when Boise State would get slighted? They were a sympathetic figure. And we always, like, we sort of went out of our way to keep an eye on Boise State. And then you propped them up the following season. Then they shocked Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. And all of a sudden, BYU got up there with everybody else, at least for a little while. BYU is set up for next year. I don't know if Zach Wilson's going to come out and go to the NFL. But if he does come back, now it feels like you'll at least have a little bit more sympathy for what they were able to do. You're trying to play who's ever on your schedule you try to play. And then when they fall off your schedule, you're searching for somebody. Who wants to play us? It's not like BYU's schedule was lame to start the season, I don't believe. Yeah, McLovin.
It was brutal to start the season. They had six big conference games, one of the toughest schedules in the country.
Yeah, so it's not their fault. They're trying their best, and then it felt like it was held against them that they didn't play anybody. I think Cincinnati can play with anybody in the country. I'm not saying they can beat Alabama or Clemson or Notre Dame. I believe that they can play. Now, if you watch games, I've watched two complete games with Cincinnati. They can play. They're good, both sides of the ball, but they're not going to get that opportunity here. And it used to be a lot of these teams wouldn't play somebody because it was only going to benefit that team if they somehow pulled off the upset. And you always have to go to their place. It's rarely a home and home. So these teams don't get that opportunity to schedule somebody because it'll be, well, who'd you face? Well, Ohio State, they haven't played anybody. And they barely beat Indiana at home. So how did they pass the eye test? We assume Ohio State's one of the top four teams in the country. But if you haven't passed what is the eye test you passed? You didn't beat anybody. And that's the confusing part of this for me. It feels like we change the rules in accordance to, or the criteria, depending on the school. Clemson, great. No problem in there. Notre Dame, Alabama. You want to put Ohio State in there, that's fine. But I don't think you can discount these other teams, these other schools, by saying, well, they didn't really pass the eye test. When you're using that same criteria with Ohio State, because they haven't passed the eye test either. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Yes, Paulie.
I have an idea. Let's say everyone gets the big wigs make the top football game, the Final Four.
All right.
Cincinnati Bearcats, BYU, Marshall Football, and Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers, all go undefeated. They have their own four-team playoffs. Four undefeated teams do a two-game playoff, and they just declare themselves whatever they want to declare themselves. Find a sponsor, find a network, have some fun with it.
But here's the problem with it. College football moves at a snail's pace. Like, they can't get anything organized.
This might be the year it's different because we're adding people midweek. We didn't know if BYU or Washington were playing 24 hours ago.
This is the year we should have added the four more playoff teams. That would have been seismic if they would have done that. What happens if USC goes undefeated? Do they get the benefit of the eye test? What if Oregon goes undefeated? But the Pac-12 is so far behind, I don't know how many games you have to play to qualify for the eye test there. Yeah, McLovin.
The eye test is not helping USC, by the way. Like, they're the two luckiest wins of the year.
But they won.
But the eye test is all about margin of victory. That's what you mean. When you say eye test, you mean did you kill people?
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Do you want to play for a conjured up football NIT, though? If they're not going to let you in and make it an A-team deal, do you really want to force that and be part of some kind of alternate league almost?
Well, if you're able to continue to play and you somehow emerge from, a Final Four, how would you call it? The next Final Four? Because you're not going to be in the Final Four. It'd be the next Final Four. And you wanted to get those teams together and you wanted to play. You end up 12-13-0. Yeah, McLovin.
There's no way BYU wants to be placed with Coastal Carolina, by the way. They want to be considered like a Pac-12 level team. Hey, let's play with nice little the Chanticleers. It's not happening.
No, it's not. But Paulie loves the dream.
Chanticleers.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's right. Paulie's been correcting us. Yeah, it's not the Chanticleers.
Oh, if Paulie ran college football, there'd be the winner of the MAC would be the national champion.
Oh, yeah. I could fix this in 12 minutes with a piece of paper and a pen.
How about my Kent State Flashers? They're undefeated. Buffalo's undefeated. Western Michigan's undefeated.
You love Western Michigan.
Yes, I do. I love the Broncos. All right, what other poll questions are we going with there? By the way, Fritzy has his Thanksgiving names. I don't know when. Did you put that in the rundown, Paulie?
For the 15th straight year, I've not put it in the rundown.
You did not? Why?
I'm a traditionalist.
Should I take that as a hint of some sort?
Okay. How about next hour? Because I got Barkley coming up in a couple of minutes. And I want to give this some breathing room. I want to have it a standalone segment there because this is really, really important for people to have a great Thanksgiving holiday. Really,
I appreciate you selling it.
No, for them to find something else to do. It's going to be a standalone where I tell them, maybe they listen to Levitard or somebody else.
That's just mean on Thanksgiving Eve to say that.
Yeah, listen for 5 or 6 minutes to Levitard, and then you could come back.
Wow.
This program brought to you by Built Bar, 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, some of our favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code DP for 20% off your purchase. What else, McLovin?
Okay, I have another, you can only watch one, but I'm going to save it, involving some special sporting events for later this weekend. But which top four team will not make the college football playoff? Alabama 1, Notre Dame is 2, Clemson's 3, Ohio State's 4. Just without even breaking down schedules, eyeball test, who's the one who's in danger?
I'm going to say Notre Dame. If Alabama beats Florida, if Clemson beats Notre Dame, Ohio State continues to win. The question is, who would slip in? Because if you said I can have A&M, Georgia, or Notre Dame, I'm taking Notre Dame. If I'm the college football playoff committee, not that they would factor in something like that, would they? Yes, Paulie.
And Alabama's in a position now where they could probably afford a loss to Florida in the SEC title game and still grab the 4 spot based off history, based off how good of a program they are. They could lose and stay in.
I saw this interesting stat. Last night's college football playoff poll, the 38th poll released by the committee in the playoff era. Alabama's been number one in exactly half of them.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Clemson's second on that list with 8 weeks at number one. And then LSU, Mississippi State, Ohio State, and Georgia.
Is that correct?
Yeah. It's like Mississippi State was number one in the college football playoff rankings three times?
Dak Prescott year? Is that when that happened?
I'm guessing.
Nick Fitzgerald and the boys? I don't remember them.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think, remember Dak Prescott went undefeated for a while? That must be when it happened.
No, oh, okay. All right, so we'll come up with a poll question here. Your phone calls are always welcome. Charles Barkley will join us, Aaron Rodgers a little bit later on. What else do we have here? Oh, in honor of the Matt Holidays and the Tim McCarvers, the Dan...
No.
The Dan...
Yes.
Wait a minute. I think it's possible Fritzy should read this, just the way it's written.
Do you have this copy, Todd?
I do.
Okay, do you want to read this?
Or I could do it for him. In honor of the Matt Holidays...
Let me let Todd do it.
In honor of the Matt Holidays, we've Tim McCarver, the Dan Patrick online store, starting right now. Go to shop.danpatrick.com to get the best savings we've ever offered. 40% off t-shirts, 30% off everything else. We've made giving easy with our holiday bundles and 2021 calendars. Don't be a Jack Ham. Go to shop.danpatrick.com to Mark Eaton.
Okay.
See what we did there?
Yeah, I did. I got it.
You don't want to eat so much you get a Christian McCavity.
You don't. Who wants to go to the dentist over there? I don't even know if they're open.
Or if you eat so much, you got to do a Bill belly check.
I like the belly check.
You're on fire right now, Paul.
Those aren't mine. I stole them from Russell in North Carolina.
Oh. Yeah. Well, Christian McCaffrey's not good.
40% off t-shirts, Christian 30% McCavity? Off everything else.
No, nobody's getting a cavity at Thanksgiving.
Too much sweet potatoes.
We done?
Rick Sweet, that was a baseball player.
Are we done?
To Mark Eaton, the deals.
We're done. Charles Barkley will join us coming up next here. It's 18 after the hour. I think this is still the Dan Patrick Show. The holidays can feel like never-ending, a never-ending list of things to do. Shopping online, browsing can expose your personal info, so get LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Certainly during the holidays. And it's crazy. The information we put out there, you could be potentially exposed. Something could be found on the dark web that you're not even aware of with your personal information. Get LifeLock, the leader in identity theft protection. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information is being used in their network, they'll send you an alert. LifeLock can help restore your identity easier than what you can do on your own if you become a victim of identity theft. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel protected this holiday season. Best sale of the year is happening right now. Save up to 30% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Promo code Patrick. That's 30% off at LifeLock.com. Promo code Patrick. The sale ends November 30th. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. The new original series, Saved by the Bell, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Bayside is back. New students, new stories, some very familiar faces. Start streaming now. Been watching season 3, Yellowstone. Kevin Costner starting to heat up a little bit. You get a chance to start streaming seasons 1 and 2. That's available on Peacock as well. Friday, there's golf. You probably didn't know this. I forgot all about it. And then Paulie goes, hey, Barkley is going to be playing golf on Friday. And I go, so? He goes, no, he's playing with Phil and Steph and Peyton Manning, and it's TV. And I went, well, let's get Charles on. Charles joins us now. Where are you right now?
I'm in Arizona, my brother. I'm getting ready to head out for a practice round with the great Phil Mickelson.
Okay, so it's you and Phil against Peyton and Steph?
Yes.
Okay, and the stakes? Now, there are side bets on this?
There's a lot of side bets, but we've already raised a lot of money. But we all picked a historically black college, and we've already, I think they told me, they've already raised $6 million. We're going to have to raise a lot of money for historically black colleges.
Okay, TNT will broadcast the event. It starts at 3 Eastern on Friday. How's your game, by the way?
I feel very good about my game. I'm not going to lie, Dan. And I'll tell you the truth. If I don't play great, if I don't play well, I'll be devastated. Because I've been practicing from 4 or 5 hours every day. I feel really good. I can't wait. And I told you, I'd be totally devastated if I don't play good.
Okay, but what is good? And I tell people this, that I played with you, and I think it might have been one of the best rounds, one of the last times you had a really good round. And this was in a professional event. You know, that was a celebrity event, and you shot a 79 in Dayton, Ohio. And people go, and what did he end up with? Like, you shot 79 through 15 holes or something. I said, no, Charles shot 79 that day. What are you shooting now?
Well, I haven't been worried about my score. I'm worried about hitting good shots.
Okay.
Because, you know, clearly I got mentally paralyzed on the golf course from taking too many lessons and thinking too much and choking under pressure. I've tried to dial it back and don't worry about my score. Just keep hitting good shots, accept the bad shots, and try to concentrate harder on hitting more good shots. So to be honest with you, I haven't kept score in a year, but I'm just trying to hit a bunch of good shots.
But you talk about this, you got in your head and you took all these lessons. And if I put you on the first tee, you were different than you would be on the practice range, right? Your swing was different on the practice range as opposed to when you actually went to the first tee?
Well, Dan, you know, it's really interesting you phrase it like that, because I've actually played with players who were great in practice, and once the crowds got in, they froze up mentally. And that had never happened to me before, because when I played basketball, I went to a whole nother gear when the crowd was there. That took you to a whole nother level. But for some reason, when I got on the golf course, I just choked like a dog under pressure, plain and simple. I think now I feel a lot better. I got a lot a more simplistic approach to playing golf. Instead of, like I say, when I was breaking 80, I was always going to shoot between 78 and 84, always. And I made the mistake of taking lessons from, first of all, I took lessons from the best teachers in the world. Best teachers in the world. And and sometimes when I go to the first tee box, I hear all 10 of them talking to me at the same time. You know, I've heard all 10. I've heard Hank. I've heard Butch. You know, I've had a bunch of local guys working with me. And now when I step on the first tee, I think about the coach I'm working with, Stan Utley, right now. I say, hey, forget everything you've heard. Just remember what Stan told you. And just make a good swing.
Who's going to talk the most trash on Friday?
Peyton Manning. Peyton is amazing. Him and Steph have been killing me, first of all, I deserve it. But we're going to have a lot of fun, man. And we're going to raise a lot of money. But like I say, I think I'm going to play well. I'm going to play well.
Will you ask for advice from Mickelson?
Of course, especially on the putting green.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you know, when I'm watching television, you hear guys say you can't miss it there. And obviously playing with Phil, I said, I'm going to ask him, where can I not miss the shot? And I think that's really, really important. And there's no person watch the Golf Channel more than me. You know, I told a friend of mine one time, they could put a guy on TV and not show me his name. And I'm not talking about Dustin or Justin Thomas or Brooks Koepka or Bryson DeChambeau. I think you can put a top between 20 and 40 in the world. Don't put their name up there. And I could tell you who was swinging the club. That's how much I enjoy the game.
Steph Curry's pretty good. Like
he's really good.
He's around scratch, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's around scratch, and I don't know what Peyton's handicap is, but it's an alternate shot format. So clearly, all the pressure. I'm the wild card will be a good way to explain it. You know, Phil's gonna hit great shots. All the pressure is gonna be on me and Peyton, to be honest with you, because I know Steph is gonna play great. I know Phil is gonna play great. But when you're in an alternate shot format, like. I'm the guy who's got under the most pressure.
He's Charles Barkley, the Hall of Famer, TNT Inside the NBA analyst, and the event will take place at Stone Canyon Golf Club. That'll be Friday at 3 Eastern, and this will benefit historically black colleges and universities. Steph Curry is going to be in there with Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, of course. Charles Barkley, are you following the NBA offseason?
Yeah, of course I am. It's been interesting. I think the Lakers got better, clearly. I tell you the team I really like they did, the Portland Trail Blazers. I think they made a couple nice additions. They got to get everybody healthy now. Yeah. You know, they didn't have Rodney Hood last year, and one of my favorite players, Zach Collins, I think going to be a stud. I love the addition of Enes Kanter. I never understand why people trade Enes Kanter. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And they say, you know, I remember it was this idiot in the NBA told me a few years ago, one of my favorite players is Tyson Chandler. And I'm talking, this is a, you know, this is one of you geese guys who don't know anything about basketball. You know, they call it analytics. They just want to hire their son-in-law. That's what they did. All these owners want to hire their son-in-law who married their pretty daughters. These guys don't know anything about basketball. They're like, yeah, let's just shoot threes. They go in, we win, and we make them, we lose. And this guy said to me, well, I don't like Tyson Chandler. I'm like, why? They're like, all he does is play defense and rebounding. I said, you know, those are like the two most important parts of the game. I mean, Tyson Chandler's been a great player for a long time, one of my favorite people. But in his kind of like, well, he doesn't play defense. But I said, tell you what, he can score and rebound like a mother. And you give me a guy who can score and rebound like that, he can play on my team anytime.
Yeah, and, you know, I love what the Lakers did. I think they got better. And it was interesting that the NBA just sort of – I don't know if they realized what the Lakers were doing when the Lakers were doing it. But, you know, you pick up Schroeder, Matthews, like they got younger, and it just feels like LeBron is loaded and ready to go for another championship.
Yeah, I think, Alex, listen, Schroeder is a good young – he's a great backup. I think when he ran into trouble when he was starting in Atlanta, but you saw in Oklahoma City, he's a great backup. Getting Montrezl Harrell is coming off the bench. Gasol, to me, is a really good pickup. Don't forget Wes Matthews. So, but listen, all that stuff is irrelevant. You got LeBron and AD. You can, as you see, you can get five guys off the street, and they got guys who can really play. But like I say, I still like what the Trailblazers did. I like what the Sixers did. I like what my Phoenix Suns did. But listen, the Lakers are going to be the clear front runner for the championship.
Explain to me James Harden. He didn't want to play with Chris Paul anymore. Shipped him to Oklahoma City. He wants to play with Russell Westbrook. Now he doesn't want to stay in Houston. He wants to. He turned down $50 million a year, and now he wants out of Houston. They did all of this for James Harden, and now he doesn't want to stay there. So what do you do with James Harden if you're the Rockets?
Well, they got to start over. They did that little silly thing where they put all them little munchkins out there and thought it could work. It wasn't going to work. You know, they're like, Dan, listen, you can't put all those little guys out there and think they're going to be successful. Because you got James who's, like I've said it and people got mad when I said it. James Harden is probably the greatest offensive player. He's not Michael or Kobe, but as far as offense, James Harden is the greatest offensive player I've ever seen. You got Russell Westbrook who, if you don't like Russell Westbrook, you don't know anything about basketball. But they put him out there like idiots with all those little guys. And they're just going to try to outshoot you. And now they're no good. And both of those guys want out. They don't want to spend the last few years of their careers as a middle-of-the-road bottom feeder. But let me tell you something. You heard of that, what they call it, rubbernecking, when you see a car accident?
Yeah.
I want their rights. If you know how they do these following the team during the season? If the Brooklyn Nets get James Harden, I want the rights to follow that threesome around all season. That would be so amazing and fun to watch. I'm telling you, man, because I think they're going to have those two guys already going to have a really difficult time in New York. They both got thinner skin and flat Stanley. And you add James Harden to the mix who wants the ball all the time. I want the developmental rights to the Brooklyn Nets with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. I just want to watch that fascinating experiment.
Do you think it could work?
I got zero chance of working. zero. You know, because listen, two of the guys, listen, Dan, there's only so many things you can do on a basketball court. when you're a great player, you can win a game offensively, defensively, rebounding, or assisting. Two of those guys just want to score, and it's not going to work. Durant, he proved that he can play some defense with the Warriors, but the other two guys are terrific offensive players, but neither one's a great defender. They're not great at passing the ball. And listen, two of the other guys are going to be pissed because they're just standing around watching one of those other guys dribble. So I would love to see that experiment. That would actually make at least while we wouldn't have to talk about Giannis not signing the max extension, which is going to be the number one story for the next year. I hope he signs with Milwaukee and don't be one of these front-running guys. I hope he battles out like the great Michael Jordan did or the great Dirk Nowitzki did and not try to join a super team and be like just jumping on somebody's bus.
Is there drinking going on tomorrow or Friday on the golf course?
I doubt it. I don't know anything about those three guys. I'm probably the only one who likes to drink. So no, I'm not going to drink by myself. That makes you a loser when you drink by yourself.
I think Peyton could probably get after it a little bit.
You know, Peyton, I think Peyton lost my phone number. When Tennessee was ranked in the top 25, he called me like every day, telling me he was all excited about the Auburn game. And now they've lost like four in a row. He lost my number when Auburn beat him down this weekend. So I just got to make sure I give him my phone number again this weekend, because when Tennessee was 2-0 in rank, he was blowing my phone up. I mean, he can't wait for the Auburn game. But he'd been quiet for the last month since they lost four in a row.
Have fun out there on Friday, Charles, and tell Phil we said hello. Thanks for joining us. As always, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening to the show, and especially you and your guys.
Thank you, buddy. And so Charles Barkley, that'll be coming up Friday. Stone Canyon Golf Club, that's down towards Tucson, I believe.
Yep.
It'll be Steph Curry. It'll be Phil Mickelson. It'll be Peyton Manning and Charles Barkley. TNT will broadcast the event beginning at 3 Eastern. I shock people when I say I played with Charles Barkley and shot a 79. And they're like, there is no way. He had great hands around the green, great touch around the greens. And he hit the ball well. And when I saw him, he was taking lessons in Houston. I don't want to mention any golf pro's name. You know, I want to be fair to Charles and that situation. But the golf pro said, pause for a second at the top of your golf swing. Now, you see this with Hideki Matsuyama. Like, you know, there are, players from Asia, South Korea, Japan that do this. Like, they're a little bit more methodical in their swing. Like, they will pause at the top or give you just that little hint of a pause. And it's sort of to get you so you're not rushing and you got everything kind of connected for the downswing. Well, Charles got there, and then he didn't know how to get back down. And then he got it in his mind where he had this mental block where he'd get to the top of his swing and he would pause. Now, you're not supposed to pause for a second. It's like a millisecond. You just get up there and then you go. I mean, it's that quick. But Charles got there and he couldn't get down. Kevin Na is a player on tour who's run into that where he couldn't fire. He was up top. He couldn't fire down. And this is a professional. And Charles got into his head, and Charles went to a hypnotist to try to help. He's gone through, I give him so much credit. He loves the game so much, and he plays so poorly, at least he has in the last decade, but he wants to be great. He's never stopped wanting to be great at it. And the fact that he was close enough where he's shooting in the 70s, and then he went where he's shooting in the 90s or 100. Yeah, Paul.
He talked about how he knows every golfer, every detail. This is a serious question. If you were a network, would you hire Charles Barkley to be an actual golf announcer, like a regular? Because David Faraday is entertaining and fun.
Yeah,
and
but he played the game.
But Charles, he has such a hall pass with American sports fans. I think if a network put him as a real golf analyst, he would like it, and I think the viewers would love it.
Yeah, but I don't know if everybody's all in to be entertained like that. Faraday played the game and played it at a high level.
Let's say it was not a major. This is the Houston Honda Open or something like that, which doesn't get a lot of notoriety.
I think you would have to do it sparingly, because I think you have to be fair to the golfer. There are golf fans. They're the kinds that call in and tell you that there's a rules violation. I don't know, as much as I love Charles and that he would bring some levity, I don't watch golf for levity. I'm watching golf for golf. And Charles can have fun with something. I would have it be a one-off, or maybe, you know, when they used to have the winners of all four majors play, and it would be on TNT and it would be in Hawaii. If you wanted to do a skins game and had Charles in there with it, on-course reporter, then I'm fine with it. But, you know, the Shell Houston Open, I don't want to see or hear Charles out there. We'll take a break. Play of the day coming up. Phone calls as well. We're settled on our poll question. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Now Cuadrado. Ronaldo spins away for one challenge, and Cristiano Ronaldo supplies the equaliser in typically razor-sharp fashion. But after so much huffing and puffing, Cristiano Ronaldo given the opportunity to cut inside.
Courtesy of CBS Sports, Ronaldo, his 70th career Champions League goal, tying Lionel Messi for most all-time. Juventus went on to win 2-1. They sit in second place behind Barcelona in Group G of the UEFA Champions League. Play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by the great folks at Built Bar. There's 18 amazing flavors, and it's not going to taste like a protein bar. You're going to have to remind yourself it's a protein bar. It's going to taste like a candy bar, but it is great. BuiltBar.com. And you enter the promo code DP for 20% off your purchase. Yes, Seton O'Connor.
Monumental day yesterday for U.S. soccer. Gigantic.
Okay.
We just did the Ronaldo goal from the Juventus match. Yeah. So Weston McKennie, he started in the midfield for Juventus. He's the first American to start a Champions League game for an Italian club. And that's just, Juventus isn't just any Italian club. They're gigantic, and you know, they have Ronaldo. They're not playing around. They're there to win. At the same time, you had another U.S. men's national team, Sergiño Dest. He became the first American to score for Barcelona, which is a pretty massive moment. And then later in that same game, you had Conrad De La Fuente. He checked in, made his debut for Barcelona. So that's two U.S. men's national players in at the same time for Barcelona in a Champions League game. Those are big moments.
And you, there's other players, though, U.S. players who are playing in the Premier League.
Sure.
Right?
It seems more... It used
Pulisic?
To be, yeah. It used to be more uncommon. Like, Landon Donovan would play for Everton for a few months.
Or Tim Howard.
Yeah, Clint Dempsey would play for Fulham.
Yeah.
And it was more... We noticed him more because it was rare. Now it's more... Like Seton said, it's way more common.
And if Pulisic wasn't hurt, he would have been playing yesterday. Okay. Chelsea had a game, but he's hurt. But then you also have, like... You know, I don't know if he played yesterday, but Tyler Adams, he gets a lot of time for RB Leipzig, I want to say. Nice. But there are a lot of U.S. men's national team players, especially in Bundesliga, are playing like high-level soccer and getting big moments. But Weston McKennie for Juventus is a big one. That's
nice. McLevin, did we settle on the poll question? By the way, we're doing the Thanksgiving-themed names coming up next hour, polling.
Are there rules for this year? Because you said there were, yes. But you're the boss.
I said that the names had to be from the year 2000 on.
Are you standing by that rule?
Yes, I am.
And now, we go to the newsroom for an I-Team investigation.
The motto of our news team is...
We don't break news. We sprain it.
Let's go to the newsroom. Paulie?
Dan, Todd Fritz, who's been punishing America yearly with his Thanksgiving sports name since 2002, to my recollection, was on the popular 1215 podcast of the Dan Patrick Show Back Room Guys. It's blowing up.
Oh, I heard that there were some opinions thrown around by one Todd Fritz.
Well, Todd was not being monitored by you. He was, you know, freelancing
He was unplugged.
Here's what he had to say about your rules.
I have a number of names that I've used before, but I've added some new ones. I'm probably going to break the rule of what Dan said about anyone that played before the year 2000. You don't use those names. So I'll probably get a smack on the wrist and yelled at, because the bottom line is there's not 1,000 of these names. And if I can think of a clever name or someone, you know, that follows the show that sends me something on social media with an idea that I think is good, you know, I compile the list and I can't promise.
Okay, I got it. I got the gist of it.
Coaches or
no. I know Todd rambled for 2 more minutes about this.
That's correct.
Yes, Todd.
I'm trying to obey the rules, but sometimes
No, you just said
names.
You weren't. You're not trying to obey the rules.
I would like to obey the rules, but sometimes
but
there's some
no,
names
no, but
that
you're,
I think...
It's really easy to obey the rules. You don't have a sports name from prior to 2000.
If you would like to obey the rules, you could choose to obey the
yes.
rules.
But if my point is, if there's some juicy names that just happen to be not before 2000.
But we've heard those before.
I think for the most part, they're relevant.
A juicy name.
See what I did?
If there's a juicy name that we haven't heard yet. That...
Dinner Roland Harper.
It's the same every year. And I keep saying to you, expand a little bit here.
But that would require people born, you know, from the 2000s
no,
to have
it
a
would
Thanksgiving
require
related name.
You doing some homework is what it would require, Todd. Yes, McLovin.
Can I jump in and help ruin the holiday for everybody? There's something happening on social media. It's becoming a thing.
Okay.
QB depth chart Thanksgiving names are now being bandied about by the DP show audience, and they're tremendous.
Wait.
Let's go.
How did this happen?
How does any of this stuff happen? Okay. I have no idea.
Okay, give me an example here.
Someone tweeted us the Chicago Bears depth chart at quarterback is Tyler Bravey, Mitchell Trubisky, and Nick Foliage. Todd had to actually respond that I already had two of those. And that led to the Colts with Philip Livers, Jacoby Brissett, and Jacob Eaton instead of Jacob Eason.
Okay.
I jumped in with a little help from Seton. Mike Glennon Meringue Pie.
Ooh.
Gardner Salad Minshew and Jake Crouton.
Oh, Luton?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to explain that one.
And I got the Patriots, too. Yam Newton, Jared Stidham
Yam
Sandwich.
Newton. Wait, hold on. Yeah. Paul, you stepped on the
Sorry.
Other one.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Stidham Sandwich and Brian Hoy, I'm stuffed her.
I love it. I love all three of them.
Yam Newton.
Happy holiday, everyone.
Todd, no, McLovin, you're not done. That's not a walk-off.
That was actually the meanest thing Andrew has ever done, because he just crushed with that segment. And Todd's been looking 15 years
to
get those
laughs. Look at that face on Todd. You would kill to get that reaction with your names next hour.
Just 1/10 of that. Those were very good. I should just throw this. I got the whole list here. I should just dump it.
Oh, I know. And then Todd goes, hey, how many names can I mention? I go, I don't know, 10. 10? I got 65. And I go, yeah, 10. Why don't we start with 10?
I will never get it in the way I slowly say the names to make sure I punctuate.
Yeah, you do take forever. Do you have just, like, let's give the audience a reason to want to wait a half hour for this.
Okay, our Qualcomm friend, Matt Harvest.
No, give them a reason to want to listen. Like, okay, that's your one right out of the gate, Matt Harvest.
Charlie Greenbean Casserly.
Okay. All
that
right.
Works.
I'll give you that one.
Charlie Casserly?
Charlie Casserly.
Charlie Greenbean
Casserly. More to come.
Bob Cluck.